Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tarsan Products Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to our Tarsan Products 3Q FY23 earnings conference. From the senior management team, we have today with us Mr. Rohan Singhal, Whole-time Director, Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO. I will now hand over this call to the management of Tarsan Products for the opening remarks, post which we can start Q&A sessions. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and a very warm welcome to everyone present on the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call for Tarsan Products Limited. Along with me today, I'm joined by Mr. Santosh Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer and the Company Secretary for Tarsan Products Limited, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our quarterly investor presentation on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope all of you had an opportunity to go through the same. Let me begin with the industry insights, followed by our financial and operational performance for Q3 as well as the nine months FY23. First, I would like to provide some background on the life sciences industry. The overall industry is slowing down on the back of current recessionary trends and after effects of the COVID pandemic. We have also seen slowdown across our end markets, including diagnostics, academia, as well as research institutes. Pharma, however, has been holding up, but not at the same levels compared to the pre-pandemic days. Diagnostics industry is seeing declining volumes, and the entry of new players in the industry has distributed the existing volumes and in turn, the demand for our products. Academia and research is yet to gain momentum, and post the recently announced financial budget, we envisage uptick in volumes for our coming quarters. We believe that these problems are temporary in nature, and the industry will revive soon on the back of growing demand for labware products across customer segments. We are seeing new investments made in the industry, and many new players are entering the pharmaceutical and diagnostic industries, which will be beneficial for the overall life science industry as well as plastic labware suppliers. Speaking of the financial performance, our revenues in Q3 FY23 stood at 61 crores, which is lower by 13% from Q3 FY22. The decrease in revenue is majorly attributable to two reasons. Firstly, there has been a slowdown in the industry, which in turn has reduced the demand for our products. If we speak of our performance in comparison to the industry, we have outgrown the industry growth. Hence, it is fair to say that Tarsan has been able to increase our market share. Secondly, as mentioned in our previous communications, there was a sudden surge for COVID-related products in FY22, which has normalized now. Hence, if we see on a like-to-like basis for our conventional business, revenues are holding up and have shown resilience on the back of strong brand equity for Tarsan. We believe that the industry slowdown is a temporary phenomenon, and the demand should bounce back as we are entering the post-pandemic era. When it comes to the exports opportunity, we believe we have huge opportunities in the export markets. We have been attending multiple shows and exhibitions in the last nine months to demonstrate our ability to deliver quality products of global standards on a larger platform. We have been receiving positive feedback and inquiries for our products, and these might get converted into sales as and when the demand comes back. Along with the full array of products manufactured post the commissioning of our new facilities, this would include capacity expansions as well as new product lines. we will be able to capture higher market share in the export markets, both on the OEM as well as the branded business. The global plastic labware market is massive, and we are capable of delivering best-in-class products. Our focus is on developing a trusted global brand in order to increase our revenue share from exports, which will be an important growth driver in the future. On the EBITDA front, our EBITDA stood at 27 crores in the current quarter with an EBITDA margin of 43.5%. Our margins were lower as compared to previous year on account of change in product mix as well as reverse operating leverage playing out on account of dip in revenues for the current quarter. Our margins were also impacted on account of higher sales, promotional, marketing and traveling expenses for our participation in various shows and exhibitions. However, we consider this as an investment to fuel our future growth. We are on track with our ongoing CapEx plans, which will fuel our next phase of growth. Our new Panchala facility will enable us to serve a completely new segment of the plastic labware industry. Our other capital expenditure project is in Amta, West Bengal, which we are expanding in some key products as well as building a fulfillment center to consolidate our warehouse operations into a single centralized unit to better manage our inventories and achieve cost synergies. At the same location, we also aim to do backward integration in the manufacturing process by building an in-house sterilization center for captive consumption. Robust outlook for the industry for the medium to long term gives us the confidence to continue the investments in capacity expansions as well as new product lines, and we are not too worried about the short-term phenomenon. Before handing over the call to Santosh, I'd like to emphasize that our primary strategy will be to improve existing products and expand into new product portfolios, focus on branding and promotion activities. We believe that the Indian plastic labware market is at a very nascent stage and with huge potential in the export markets. We are all geared to outperform the industry growth. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO for Tarsons, for his comments on the operational and financial highlights.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q3 FY23 earnings call. On the revenue front, revenue from operation for Q3 FY23 stood at 61.3 crore as compared to 70.7 crore in Q3 FY22, lower by 13% on YOY basis. For 9 months FY23, revenue from operation for 9 months FY23 stood at 201 crore as compared to 216 crore in 9 months FY22. Just to reiterate what Rohan said, we had a higher base of COVID-related revenue in FY22, which are negligible in the current year, and hence the revenue seems to be lower. On a like-to-like basis, the revenue will be marginally lower to flat for 9 months FY23. Revenue from export stood at 21 crore and domestic at 41 crore on a quarterly basis. For 9 months FY23, export stood at 68 crore and domestic was 133 crore. For quarter 3 and 9 months FY23, export sales contributed around 34% and domestic sales contributed around 66%. At a gross level, our gross profit for Q3 FY23 stood at 48 crore as compared to 55 crore in Q3 FY22. For 9 months FY23, GP stood at 157 crore as compared to 172 crore in 9 months FY22. Our GP margin for Q3 FY23 stood at 77.5%, and for 9 months FY23, GP margin stood at 77.8%. At an EBITDA level, EBITDA for Q3 FY23 stood at 27 crore as against 33 crore in Q3 FY22, 20% lower YOY. EBITDA for 9 months FY23 stood at 91 crore as against 108 crore in 9 months FY22. EBITDA margin for Q3 FY23 stood at 43.5%. And for 9 months FY23, EBITDA margin stood at 45%. At a PAT level, profit after tax for Q3 FY23 was 16 crore with PAT margin of 26.3%. And profit after tax for 9 months FY23 was at 58 crore with PAT margin of 28.8%. PAT was also impacted on account of higher depreciation. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, the one coming onto your exports business, you alluded to political uncertainty and recessionary trends to explain the decline in exports revenue during the quarter. But last quarter, when you had done well on exports front, there was no mention about possible slowdown on the exports front. So if you could elaborate on that. And second, given industry demand continues to remain sluggish, what's your plan of action to ensure that your upcoming facility at Panchla does not go underutilized?
So, from the last earnings call to the current earnings call, what we see is that we see more and more, slowing down in major economies. So, we are really unaffected by problems which are happening in Russia and Ukraine. But if you look at the US, you look at Europe, you look at major geographies, South Korea, Japan, the spending on our kind of products is coming down. And, the reason for that coming down is, there's the inflation rates are high and, there are the economic conditions globally is not very positive. And once that's not positive, it affects everything. And, research budgets and other spending habits are also affected. And we see, the output and the outtake is slightly slower at this point of time. Regarding our new facilities, I think, we would have to watch very closely all the capacity expansions what we are doing because the demands seem to be lower at this point of time. However, we think it's very temporary. But for the new product groups, I think we are not too worried because we start with a base of zero. It's a new product which we are launching and we would move in the same way which we had planned, of gradually increasing our market shares both domestically as well as internationally. So I think majority of our expansion moving forward is for products which we never made before as against products in which we are expanding capacities.
So just continuing on that and, the sluggish demand environment that you're talking about, so how confident are you, to meet your stated guidance of 500 crore revenue by FY25 against the backdrop of a slowing global economy?
So I still feel that, the next year is a very critical year, which starts from 1st of April. So we take a call and, review our guidance depending on how we see the momentum in the first few quarters of next year. But I still believe that this is on the back of, a huge artificial demand which was created during COVID. And although economic factors are there to play, but I feel that the industry is saturated at this point with, a lot of pent-up stock through the COVID period, and it's a very temporary phenomenon and things should bounce back pretty strong very soon. So still, we would stick to our guidance which we have given for the FY25 and probably look to reevaluate it towards the middle of the next financial year in case things are not looking up.
So on your domestic conventional business, you had indicated there was substantial growth during first half. But if one were to even remove the COVID revenue from the base, your domestic revenues are largely flat. So I think in the last call you mentioned you were expecting growth in the domestic revenue on the back of new product launches such as PET bottles and keeping high inventory in anticipation of that. So if you could just comment on revenue offtake in new products during the quarter, what's been the contribution from that?
So the contribution at this point, we do not have any revenue from new product contribution at this point in this quarter because these new bottle product lines which we are looking at require a lot of approvals, which are internal approvals, not customer approvals, which are raw material approvals, a lot of purity approvals, and it's a large range of products. So you cannot have four or five sizes and sell. You need to have a complete range which is there as per Google competitor base. So we are in the process of launching the final stage of products, and I think towards the end of Q4, which is around the month of March, you will start seeing the first sales of these bottles getting in.
Sure. On Panchla, you had highlighted that you were starting to build export revenue during fourth quarter. Has that already started? And what's the remaining capacity expansion for the facility? And how much of the overall capex have you incurred?
So Panchla is slated to be operational and the complete facility ready around the month of the end of May 2023. So until the facility does not start, we cannot have even one rupee of revenue from the facility. So Panchla is under construction. The construction is 99% complete. We are just going through the clean room production as well as the electrical lines and, you know, the final finishing touches. So we believe we are about 10 to 12 weeks away from being able to build first revenues from that facility.
Sure. And lastly, given we are already halfway through fourth quarter, are there any more factors that you foresee that can lead to further disappointment?
No, I think the factors are, you know, it's the industry sluggish at this point of time, and the global environment has not helped our international business. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty which is playing out, and hence people are conservative. There are certain country risks, countrywide risks as well, which we have started seeing. For example, in South America, there is, certain currency issues with, certain key countries which we've been operating in. Egypt has been going through a very, very tough phase in terms of currency as well. So, but these countries are not the major countries for us, but they still account for a good size of our, international business. But moreover, I think the US and Europe has been very, very sluggish, which is the major part of our business. And this has not aided, an overall, sluggish industry. So a sluggish industry along with a sluggish economy in these countries is not playing in our favor, but we still feel that the kind of product lines which we are coming out with, the industry looks to be in a very, very strong position moving forward. It is going through a temporary blip, and this industry will bounce back very, very strong.
Great. Thanks. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
You are audible.
Sir, you have announced your capex plans of almost 500 crore an year ago from now, and we are expecting both Panchla and Amta to be operationalized in Q2 FY24. Basically, my questions are when the capex you have incurred till now on these facilities shall start contributing to the top line, and as you mentioned, margin improvement. And second is, as far as our existing facilities are concerned, these are not at fuller utilization as they were in FY22 due to temporary slowdown you mentioned in the industry. So does that mean the newer facility which is coming in shall cater to the new customers? And if yes, have you received some orders from these new customers or any kind of discussions they are going on with them with regard to the upcoming orders?
So regarding our facilities, our facilities are designed in such a way that, you know, most of the machines are unique to the various product lines. So having our current facilities not fully utilized plays no role in, you know, the new facilities coming up, because we cannot interchange capacities with, the old and new facilities. They're all unique to each other. And we generally are not, we generally don't receive orders in advance. You build a new product line, you market the new product line, you get the first levels of feedback from key customers, and that's how you build on from there and grow revenues. And CapEx will, come into place only once the facilities are fully operational. At this point of time, we have a large amount of work in progress, CapEx, both in the manufacturing infrastructure base as well as in terms of equipment, molds, machinery, ancillary, and so on.
Okay, let's take it from different angle. I was just asking how much time you will take to ramp up this new facility in the terms of revenue. That was basically I was trying to
say. So it all depends. I think the capacity expansion should be ramped up quicker, because these are existing product lines, and Tarsons has an established brand image. as well as very, very strong market segment for these kind of products, but it will all depend on how the industry is looking at that point of time. And for the newer products, as I said in my earlier calls, it's a period of 3 to 5 years to completely ramp up and have a significant market share in the domestic market for such products.
As far as I remember, the new facility that is coming in, that is entirely towards the new products, right?
No, it has capacity expansions as well, which are existing product lines as well as new product lines, but majorly new products, but there are capacity expansions planned up as well.
Okay, understood. And sir, what is your target top line for FY24 considering the current demand environment that is going on in the industry, sir?
So at this point of time, we would not like to give any guidance because things are very fluid, very volatile, and we would see how things go in quarter one and quarter two of next year.
And the current environment that is for your existing products is equally for the new product as well, means demand is low in these for existing products. So we can assume the demand will be low for those new products as well because an industry is same.
Yeah,
or is it different?
Absolutely. Absolutely, the demand, it's an industry-wise demand. It's not it's not a demand which is only catering to our segment or plastic labware. It is a demand which is for chemicals, reagents, equipment, glassware, plasticware, everything put together. The industry, the buyers are facing this kind of an issue, and that's how it is. And we'll wait and see how it works out. But for the new product lines, the advantage is we start from level zero, so everything is incremental revenue. It is very difficult to showcase growth in such tough conditions, especially when we are at such a strong base of being a market leader in India.
Okay, and you were mentioning in this quarter your market share is increased. So what is the current market share, sir?
So we believe that, our market share is slightly higher than what we had showcased in the earlier periods because considering the industry trends and looking at industry peers, it's very difficult to get identical numbers because except us, the entire industry is private. It is only our numbers which are out in the public, but we see large amounts of degrowth, and when we speak to distributors and customers, we see very, very high levels of inventories and unsold inventories for other competitors. So things are not looking good for a lot of competitors in the industry, and we feel that we are in a better position as compared to competition in India.
And sir, you are mentioning diagnostic industry is not doing well, number of players is increasing. But sir, if number of players are increasing and you are saying your unlisted players are not able to sell them, then I think it should be a good for you, right? But I'm not understanding
the diagnostic industry is going through a transformation, so there's a lot of panic at this point of time with new players coming in, prices dropping and prices increasing slightly. Then there's been a great shift in pricing, so we maintain our brand quality, and we do not have different levels of quality, so we would not be in a position to participate in large or deep discounts for our products. So at this point of time, it's going through a little bit of a crisis and a transformation where the existing established legacy players are being challenged by some of the new players coming in. So it's not a good time as a supplier as well as for many of these diagnostic players as well. So only when things settle down will we be able to understand the real impact for us, positively or negatively, for the diagnostic industry.
So your CFOA EBITDA is getting reduced. It was 93% in FY20. And in first half FY23, it is 55%. So why this shift is happening? Is there any changes in the economics of the business apart from increasing the proportion of your exports, which basically increased from 26% at that time to 34% in first half?
Sir, our cash from operation is still intact. If you see our percentage of margin, EBITDA, we are still maintaining approximately 45% EBITDA.
No, sir.
And our cash profit, if you see, cash profit is still at a 40% level or 38% to 40% level. So we are confident that our operation is generating enough cash accrual and we look forward to grow further.
Sir, I was asking for this particular percentage CFO to EBITDA ratio, which means your working capital efficiency seems to be lagged over a period of time. That's what I was trying to ask.
Sir, we need to keep some working capital considering our 1700 SKUs. So considering this fact, currently we have inventory of 112 crore rupees and debtor is about to be 50 crore rupees and creditor is about to be 10 to 20 crore rupees. So this kind of working capital is required, and if you multiply and if you see the proportion with the cash from operation, this is going really well. And going forward, once the sales will pick up, this will go better.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Mulchandani from Kriis Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you're audible.
Thank you. So Rohan, I have a question, a couple of questions. One is, you know, this cost which you mentioned that you spent on promotions, marketing. So just wanted to understand that, you know, what has been the exact nature of these costs spent in the quarter, and how do you see this cost increasing versus the previous years? And typically, how much time does it take to onboard a customer, you know, once you go for these events? So some color, if you could help us understand.
So, what we do is we go to international shows and exhibitions, and we also do domestic exhibitions and road shows. The purpose of domestic exhibitions and road shows is to reiterate our brand image, as well as launch some new products. And the process of conversion is fairly easier since we're in a very strong position in the domestic markets. International shows and exhibitions, there's no direct correlation because you keep participating in some key exhibitions and key shows internationally, and then business starts coming in. You cannot correlate which business has come from which exhibition. It is very, very difficult because you meet the same people over and over again in multiple shows. But these costs were pretty much muted during the COVID period because of travel restrictions. And moving forward, I think these costs will not play a big role once the revenues start increasing. At this point of time, there's a fair amount of fixed costs which is associated with the company at these revenues. For example, we are at 61 crores this quarter. Had we done 75 or 77 crores, there would have been a minimal increase in fixed costs, if at all. So the EBITDA or the margins would have shown very, very differently had the revenue been up. Of course, the variable costs would have increased in proportion, but at this company structure and size, we could have grown maybe 25-30% more without having an increase in any of the fixed costs.
Got it. Got it. Fair. And second question was around, you know, last two, three quarters, every quarter we are getting surprises, you know, either from higher base due to COVID and now an industry slowdown. So, you know, just wanted to get a sense that, you know, is that something that we are lacking a grip on how the markets are moving post-COVID, or, you know, there is some fundamental change which we are not able to understand, you know, because last two to three quarters we are getting surprises. So just want, because obviously you are on ground, so there must be something on your mind, you know, going in, and now we are not getting any short-term guidance. So is there some change which is happening, which you are seeing on ground level? I just wanted to get some sense on that.
So earlier as well, we had not provided any short-term guidance. We had given a longer-term guidance of about 3 years earlier. And I think our narrative has remained constant in quarter one and quarter two as well, that although COVID has completely gone, the industry has not come back to normal levels. The industry is still is quite sluggish, and we have maintained that in Q1 and Q2 as well. Although Q1 and Q2 saw good levels of non-COVID revenue growth, we continue to, you know, maintain similar levels in Q3, but the industry is slowing down. But this is not a new thing which we have proposed in Q3. The industry has been slow all across the year. The diagnostics, pharma, research, you know, continue to remain slow, with biotech and CROs, you know, maintaining good growth and good progress. We believe that this is not here to stay, and this would quickly change. But we are unable to point the finger as to an exact time when it will change, and hence we are not giving any short-term guidance.
Okay, got it. Fair. So is it fair to understand that market has degrown by more than 20% as a ballpark number, because we've dipped by almost 15%, and assuming that you've gained market share. So is it fair to assume that market is slowing down considerably, because 20% slowdown is a huge number
Actually, at this point of time, we don't have any data available for the market. So for me to put a number would not be right. There's no official data, but all the information what we have provided is from our understanding of the industry, visiting the end customers, visiting the distributors, and feeling the pulse of the market. But we don't have any official data to put a number in.
Okay, fair. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple of questions about export. We talking always about the 50,000 crore export market, and we just have not reached to the 100 crore of sales. Is that recession and the such kind of slowdown is that much has impacted that the even smaller players are impacting so much? I'm not fail to understand, because we keep marketing, we keep participating in the exhibitions on the, we talking about the China Plus One opportunity as well, but it's not showing in the number at all.
Absolutely. I think the 50,000, it is a 50,000 crore market, and we've been promoting and, competing in the international markets and doing the same strategy for sales and marketing over the last 10 years since we've been in the market, last 12 years. But I don't see us having, even if when the market rebounds back, I don't see us coming anywhere close to having a, sizable market share. So if the expectations are that we are going to have a sizable market share on this 50,000 crore market, I don't believe that is going to be there. Even though the China Plus One strategy comes into play, it would not be there. In terms of slowing down, I think all the companies which are purely into the labware space have seen considerable slowdown. Companies smaller than us, companies larger than us globally, I think there are few listed global peers which are available, online. They are listed in their respective countries in China, in the US, in Europe. And their full year numbers have been published because they are January to December. And you can clearly see the level of slowdown. It far exceeds our slowdown levels.
Got it, Rohan. But this size is too small of us compared to those players. So that's why I'm a bit worrying about that. Despite this size, we are not able to gain the opportunity over a period of time. So that's...
The problem is that a player who has got $1 billion or $1.5 billion market has made the kind of investments organically and inorganically over 6 to 7 decades, is present in all these countries directly with a large, direct and indirect sales team, and has made considerable amount of investments in those countries. The way we are planning our international business is to find correct representatives and agents for our business and conduct business from Calcutta, India to these international countries. So it's a very different approach which we've taken to international business. It's a very profitable and very sustainable approach. And we are not in a position at this point of time organically to conduct business like the way the large MNCs have been conducting. It's a very different approach.
Okay. And also you're talking about the slowdown in the growth and the R&D spending, but in any of the management in the last conferences, I have never heard about this. The company, most of are slowing down their research investments. So is it visible right now in the market? As per you?
At this point of time, if you look at the buying in pharma, it's not the same as it would be. It was drastically low in during COVID periods because of, understandably, because a lot of the units were not functional, but it's still lower than pre-COVID levels. Diagnostic is drastically lower, and research and institutional business is also very, very low at this point of time compared to pre-COVID levels. So when we look at it from our industry level, we are a bio supplier. We are a supplier of plastic labware to these key customers and key industries. We see a considerable slowdown, and we don't see any competition, both domestic as well as international, taking market share away from us. It's just an industry slowdown what we see, and it's also resonated internationally as well. When we speak to distribution partners, when we speak to OEM partners, inventory levels are high and business levels are low at this point of time.
Got it. And about the diagnostic, you talking about competitions, but I think volume-wise, industries are still growing and the new players are increasing the awareness in the industry. Definitely, the price would be under pressure. I believe it would be continue for next 3-4 years. So it is some smaller players are eating the market share of us because of the better pricing and they are offering a better pricing than us.
So we have not seen that till now. Of course, the market is segmented and there are segments which we cannot cater to, which are at a very, very low price compared to us, which was always the case even in the past, since inception, since the last 15, 20 years. And then there could be a very small segment of customers which do not buy from us and also have preference for other brands, and hence the availability of various players in the market. But we don't see any shift or movement of our market share, and there is no alarming situation where people are taking share away from us. We just see slowness and sluggishness, and hence we are waiting to see how the industry pans out over the next few quarters. But there is no alarming situation where we are losing out to competition for any reason: quality, price, brand, anything.
Got it. Thanks. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rohan. Hi there. So to begin with, you alluded in your initial comments that you saw the budget, and in that budget, the research budget, allocated funds for the research budget have been increased. So could you just quantify that? How much was it this year? How much will it be next year?
So we don't know that because they don't put in, they don't give a breakup of research, which is biosupplier research. This is a very broad research term, and a number on that against plastic labware is not the right figure. But the government has spoken very favorably on research as well as medical devices, and we hope that our industry stands to gain from that. We're yet to see that because the budget was just very recent. But the government and the research market has not been able to rebound itself, which was the pre-COVID levels. And at this point of time, the offtake from the research organizations is very, very low.
Okay, but there must be some number which is comparable on a year-on-year basis. I agree that plastic lab or consumables, it might be, you might not get the number. But as a whole, you're saying that the research budget has increased. So I'm just trying to assess how much has it increased.
So they've not put in a number there, but they've put in a statement where these numbers were stated to increase and there would be a renewed focus on them. So it's yet to be seen, what would be allocated. But again, these budgets are extremely large. And if you look at the budget which is spent on plastic labware, it is not even a fraction of the entire budget on research.
And plastic labware market is a very small part of research, right? So to get the exact figure of plastic labware market at this point of time is very difficult.
Okay. And secondly, from your commentary, I agree that that exports have gone down on a QOQ basis. But what explains the domestic revenue going down on a QOQ basis? Because they said the slowdown was already there last quarter, and there is non-COVID to non-COVID. So what explains the slowdown, 8% per slowdown in domestic QOQ revenues?
So we see, there is a slight slowdown on the domestic revenues. I would still feel that, it's not a very, very major slowdown compared to how the industry is moving at this point of time. It's on the basis of, if you look at our customer base segmented into pharma, into research, into diagnostics, and then into biotech, biopharma, CROs, I think with the exception of the last product group, which is biotech and CROs, because biopharma, we don't have the product line to approach them in a very, very large scale. The other customer segments are pretty slow, some being drastically slow like research, diagnostics, and some being partially slow like pharma. Pharma is still picking up, but not as much as what it used to be pre-COVID levels. So the entire, in terms of delivery of products, in terms of quality of our products, in terms of price competitiveness of our products, we are not facing any issues. Where the issues are on the, the demand of the customers. And as this starts picking up, we should start seeing numbers increasing, in a good pace.
Okay. And will it be possible to give segment-wise breakup of how much which segment has slowed down on a QOQ basis or on a year-on-year basis?
So we can prepare that and get that sent separately. But again, that would be assumptions to the best of our ability. As, we are getting all this information based from our sales teams and our marketing teams as well as our distribution base. All these customer groups are, serviced through our distribution channel and we don't have direct invoicing with customers.
Okay, okay. And one last question. Are you seeing a change in the competitive landscape in the post-COVID world?
Temporarily, there would always be a little bit of panic as the transition is going through. There are a lot of distributors which are filled with inventory levels for products which they don't need and products which they are unable to sell, as well as a lot of manufacturers which, went over-aggressive and, there's a lot of smaller players which went over-aggressive and increased capacities to levels which they cannot cater to today. So we don't believe that this is a major problem in the medium to long term because we are well established with our customer base as well as our distribution base in India. And we have a very unique value proposition for our OEM customers as well as our growing branded sales distributor base internationally. So overall, the industry is not looking very good at this point of time, but we believe that the rebound is just around the corner and we would be in a good position to capitalize on the rebound. And even in today's current levels, I think, as I explained in one of my earlier answers, we are doing, amongst all the players, we would be in the in the better end of the performance compared to peers as in India as well as internationally, smaller in size than us as well as larger in size than us.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Dinesh Pathak from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This 50,000 crore somebody mentioned, and you also sort of said about it. So this is our target market, or this is like a very big market, and our target market is smaller than this?
This is the market of plastic labware consumables sold globally, and we also manufacture plastic labware consumables. So it's like-for-like products which are being sold, which we manufacture. And which we don't manufacture, which we will be entering into globally.
So currently that we manufacture, the category is the products, we are covering what percentage of the 50,000, the current product portfolio?
Approximately around 60 odd percent, maybe 30,000 crores approximately. That would be my best guess because these are reports of Frost and Sullivan. I don't have product-wise breakup of these market sizes.
Okay, and the new capacity that you're putting up, you think the coverage will go up from 60% currently to
so it's actually new products plus new capacity. It's not only new capacity. New capacity means existing products, and new products means new products. So we'll be putting up a mix of
50,000 crore market, but you will expand your product portfolio basket, right, with the new capacity that you're putting up.
We should be in a position to pretty much cater this entire 50,000 crore market in the next few quarters.
Okay. Of this, the India market is 600 odd crores and you have one third of the market.
It's about 1200 odd crores.
India market is 1200 odd crores. Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, you mentioned that, so my other question was that how many new accounts would have been added in the last 12 months?
So we have added a few distribution accounts in international market spaces outside India. But in India, as I said, that distribution remains constant and we keep adding more at the customer level and not at the distribution level. So we change in India in the distribution level only if certain regions are not being catered well or if certain product lines are not being represented well. So far, we have a pretty established and well set up distribution network in India and don't make too many changes frequently.
Yeah. How many new clients would have been added? Distribution count same, but new clients in the last 12 months? A ballpark?
Very little, very limited because again, our reach is there in most of the clients, but we would be seeing, as and when we would be seeing wallet share increases with new products coming in with these customer clients in India.
Okay. In the international market, how many new distributors have been added?
Approximately about 3 to 4, but these are branded distributors and not large OEMs, and we have, you know, in a process of now, you know, building up our revenues and, you know, starting to market our products in their, in these markets with these distributors.
Okay. And the domestic diagnostic market, the incumbents might be having a tough time, but the people who are challenging them. So in aggregate, the industry volume growth, would you have an estimate of how the industry is growing in volume terms in aggregate?
In diagnostics?
Yes, in India.
I wouldn't have the number for the diagnostics industry growth. I don't, you know, have any data behind me to, you know, position a number. But what I understand from the my people, from my business development teams, from the distributors is that, you know, if the end customer is going to, you know, a little bit of a difficult time, it also gets passed over to the, you know, suppliers like us. So even though the industry is, you know, expanding in terms of the number of players, I don't see, you know, it benefiting any of these players or any of the suppliers like us.
No, but the newer players were challenging them, like, let's say, Tata 1NG, Red Clear, Celtian. They also need the consumables, right?
Exactly, absolutely. But products are being passed around, right? From
one to another, right?
Right. Absolutely, but the demand is being passed over from certain players to other players, and it's not that, you know, new markets are being created or new areas are being generated. It's all circular.
Okay. And is there a client concentration in the export revenue? Like, what would be the top three distributor or clients in the export revenue?
I think the top three should be approximately around 40%, if not, you know, in around that number.
In the of the export revenue?
Absolutely, 40% of the export revenues, yeah.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lana Zain from Dollar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Good, sir, you're audible.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just want to be want some clarity on facilities like Panchla. You in an earlier call, you said that it's completed by 85%. So just want to know that how much it is completed now. And also, if I'm not wrong, you said you are waiting for some equipment to come in.
Absolutely.
So is it completed now and been commissioning from then?
So our entire building is complete. We just have the front fascia, which is going on at this point of time. So from a civil construction point of view, the entire building is complete. But the interiors of the building are going on. The offices are being made. The clean rooms are being made. And the various wiring and the various transformers, the DG electrical sets, and, you know, the other electrical and plumbing works are in process. The infrastructure and the civil, which I said was 85%, is complete. The roads are being built, the boundary walls, everything, the whole building is complete and done. In terms of equipment, we have some levels of equipment which are getting dispatched towards the end of this quarter. This will all be large, voluminous equipment coming from different parts of the world, so it will be dispatched by sea. And let us consider 4 to 6 weeks, not 4 weeks, but about 6-7 weeks for deliveries here in India by sea, and then engineers from various companies should be coming for SATs. SATs are site acceptance tests. And over a phased manner, in throughout this year, there will be different equipment should be coming in the same process with their engineers coming and doing the SATs, and revenues would start being ramped up.
Okay, so when can we expect the first revenue to start generating from, I think, in last quarter?
As I said, between 10 to 12 weeks is, I believe, that we can start generating the first revenue. So around the month of May is when I believe that the first machines could start running in Panchla. But in terms of facility readiness, we would be ready in 8 weeks maximum with these clean room constructions and all the electrical plumbing works as well. In terms of civil and infrastructure, everything is ready.
And what about Amta facility?
Andhra facility is currently under construction, and that should move towards the months of July and August.
Okay. And so, in this call, you said the current COVID revenue contribution is negligible. So, can you give me the number of 9 months FY23 number of COVID revenue and compared to FY22?
So, I feel that in the 9 month revenue, there would be hardly anything. There would be zero revenue probably in Q2 and Q3. There could be some spillover revenue in Q1 from Q4, because Q4 had generated a good amount of revenue because COVID was still active in Q4 FY22. So with certain grants and other things spilling over to Q1, we could have seen a little bit of revenue. But at this point of time, we don't see any movement of, COVID-related products through inquiries and purchase orders of our distributors.
And how much it was in FY22, if you can give me the number?
Approximately about 15-17% of the revenue, which I would translate to somewhere around 50-odd crores. Would be approximately COVID related.
Okay. And so, can you please give the guidance of a conventional business for FY24? Or
I said earlier as well, in one of the questions, that at this point of time, we would not be in a position to give any short-term guidance. The market is pretty fluid. The industry is going through a little bit of transition post the pandemic and looking to, regain its momentum. So, we'll take a call in the next couple of quarters as to how things go.
Okay. And sir, can you tell the OEM contract which you have won earlier in last quarter, can you give a number for that, how much revenue you have generated from that contract?
Which contract? Could you just repeat that, please?
OEM contract which you have won in the last quarter.
So we are not able to understand which contract you are talking
about. Yeah, we have not discussed about any contract in the last quarter. If you could just, highlight that back, please.
Okay, I'll take it offline.
Sure, no worries.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my follow-up questions. Ron, this industry slowdown you just said about, and the also last year, I think the Omicron was on January. So could we expect that the Q4 would be again a soft for us?
So as we are not sure, but there was definitely a portion of COVID revenue in Q4 of FY22, and if the industry continues to remain the way it is, minusing the COVID revenue, there would be a gross decline. But we don't know where the final number would be, how the industry would pan out over the next 45 days. So it's yet to be seen how Q4 FY23 would look.
Got it. And also next year, I think there won't be any COVID base. And I believe that you might be having some indication that when things would be normalizing and what would be the scenario in the next couple of quarters. So could we expect that it would be like at least a double-digit growth we can expect for next year?
Again, as I said, I'm not in a position to give any guidance at this point of time. A broad-level guidance would not be possible. But we expect the industry to rebound back in the next couple of quarters. And even if not, and it takes slightly longer, we would like to take some of our new product lines which are coming out and push them really hard in order to, ensure that we can generate, growth from our existing base.
Got it. And the new capacity, as you said, that because of the new products are contributing more and taking time to be ramped up. So could it be right to assume that initially the operational cost would be impacting our EBITDA margins for at least the next couple of years unless the new product ramp up will be start coming?
Couple of years, I think, would be a very long statement. But yeah, maybe a few quarters would be, more accurate. But yes, even today, we are investing for our new facilities, and the investments have started in terms of processes as well as people, And whenever we build facilities in the magnitude of what we are building for Ashla, till we don't ramp them up, there would be costs associated with those facilities. But once ramped up, I think it would bring in way more efficiencies than what we currently see in our current setup.
So entire facilities will be start on a one shot or in a phase manner we will be starting this facility and the heating
to the entire infrastructure is built one shot, but of course the facilities would move in a phased manner. We would have a fair amount of space available in Pashla as well as Amta for future capex expansion. So I believe that the amount of capex that we are doing today, we could do similar amounts of capex in the future without having to invest in real estate as well as infrastructure.
Right, right. I'm more talking about the P&L point of view. So how much the operational cost or the depreciation would be hitting on the next year from the new facilities, basically?
So we would have head of operations, we would have head of manufacturing, we would have a lot of fixed costs in every facility, which would be there whether the facility is half full or completely full. So you would have quality engineers, you would have, you know, heads of quality. So, you know, there would be a fixed amount of people which would be there, and then the incremental increase would be marginal compared to, you know, fully ramping up the facility. Of course, the blue-collar workers would, you know, move exactly as per the number of machines, but the 40 to 50 people in the facility outside them, you know, that would be slightly heavy till the facilities don't completely ramp up. And once it ramps up, it would be way more efficient than our current setup.
Got it. Sandra, sir, can you give a more on precise that how much the approximate cost would be hitting on the P&L operational front and the depreciation front from these Pashla facilities next year?
See, I can give you the historical number. For example, in last 9 months, we added 34 crore rupees of fixed assets, right? So, and 73 crore of PV. And because of addition of fixed assets of 34 crore rupees, our depreciation rate increased, right? So, in the same way, we are running capex of 500 crore rupees. So, going forward, as soon as the machinery will come into our balance sheet, and once it will be marked as put to use, then depreciation will keep on increasing. But it will be on a good note. If the revenue will also come into the picture, then the PAT will be better.
Right, right. So entire 500 crore of operational expenditure and the capex would be hitting from the next year onwards once the facility starts operational, right?
We will not say these are the operational expenditure. These are the capex, and this will go to the balance sheet rather than to the P&L.
Got it. Thanks a lot. That's it so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next follow-up is from the line of Garvit Goel from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity again. So you were mentioning your target market, basically from the export side, that is around 30,000 CR. But you also mentioned that you people are trying to capture since last 12 years. So why we have not been able to get a significant portion, or means what is preventing us to set a footprint in the export market over such long period of time, sir?
So the major reason is that we are an Indian-based company with our facilities and our offices, and our entire brand image and history is from India, and India is a 1200 crore market, and there have been various companies in Germany, in France, in the UK, in the United States, in Canada, which have been present for more than a century, 115-year-old companies in these countries, which enjoy very, very strong brand loyalty, brand image, brand history in these countries, which are almost 80%, 70% of the world market. And they enjoy complete dominance in these countries, and it's not one company, maybe a group of about 10 to 12 different large brands. And it's not so easy to break into these brands, being a new and almost unknown player from India. So just a time period of 3 to 4 years or 5 years of marketing activities and efforts can never change this. You would have to look at a mix of different strategies of having our offices directly, in many of these countries on a sustainable basis where we are not losing money as the company grows larger in size, as well as maybe inorganic play in the future, if at all. You know, various other strategies, and it cannot be such a simple plain strategy of just attending shows and exhibitions and appointing channels and agents. If we continue in this phenomenon, we will continue to grow the company very strongly, but that whole number of 30,000 and 50,000 crores will look very large, and our number will look very, very insignificant compared to the 30,000 or 50,000 crore number.
So, Kodan, out of these branding efforts that you are currently making, how much do you expect from the export market in, next say, 2 to 3 years?
So we expect to grow, but as I said, we are not. I'm not in a position to give any guidance. We hope that we will continue to grow like the way we have grown over the last 12 years. In 12 years, we've grown our export business more than 30 times over. We were about 3 to 4 crores maybe 12 years back, and now we are close to 100 crores.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Sehgal for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. We will keep updating the investor community on a regular basis for incremental updates on your company. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.